yes, we are talking all things playing, watching, reading in today's show. You're watching this either on YouTube, on Trisha's live Twitch channel. You could be listening to this on the podcast. There's so many different ways to get an understanding on what kind of geeks Shish and I are, because we are playing, watching, reading as much as humanly possible during this lockdown. Busy lives, notwithstanding, but we're giving it a red hot go and we're asking you to do the same thing, to chat about what you're currently playing, watching, and reading. We're doing something pretty cool today though. We've got a little raid guest happening.
Yeah, so let's switch on over to that real quick. And hi, Matt Lieberman.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for being here. There it is. Matt, tell us what you're doing today.
So today I am running a charity marathon on my Twitch channel called Matt Lieberman and Friends, which you guys so graciously offered to be a part of. And we are raising money for Direct Relief, which is an incredible charity that is giving personal protective equipment, medical supplies, and much needed medications, and putting it in the hands of the people on the front lines fighting this pandemic in the US and South America. So that's our doctors, our nurses, our hospital staff. They're giving them much needed masks, gloves, and of course, medications that they use to help treat people. So we're doing our best to give back. And unfortunately, like, I'm running this off of a laptop, and the support has been through the roof and I'm overwhelmed. You can tell I'm overwhelmed because my stream totally crashed. because we just crossed, I believe, like $1,600 or $1,700 in 3 hours. So I'm so proud of our community, which has come together to support such an incredible cause. And as soon as I can, I'm going to get it up and running so that we can host you. And I couldn't be more thrilled. After this, Sam and DJ are stopping by to play some Jackbox games. I'm doing a table talk with Will and Raina. And then the Nuclear Family Cast is getting back together to watch people's 6 favorite videos, and if anyone donates $5 via Tiltify, you can pick your favorite video and vote for it to be during this retrospective, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we already passed our first stretch goal of $1,000, so I'm going to be making pizza eggs at the end of the night and showing people exactly how to do that properly. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
We've done it last week when we had Sam on as a guest, but what are some of your fondest memories that really stand out at your time at SourceFed?
Oh man, the SourceFed Nerd 1 million live stream was really cool.
It
was a blast seeing that happen. Really, actually, any time that we did a marathon for charity, because they were always a ton of fun. Making sketches, making weird videos, and also talking about superhero TV shows on Superhero Roundup, I would have to say.
We had to watch a lot of shows to do that.
I know. Well, but like, How often are you going to find a job where if someone looks at your computer and you're watching The Flash, you can say, this is for work?
Yeah, it's true. We watch like 5 hours of shows every single week just to weigh in on 1 hour.
Yeah, that's mod all the time now, is watching cool stuff for work.
Yeah, that's it. Like a few things a day, a few hours a day.
Look, she's not going
there's to time, all. There's time, there's time.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for telling us about the charity. Thank you for allowing Power Up to take up one of your 1 hour time blocks for people who are here from Matt's channel. This is a new show that Maude and I created together that we're now doing every single Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So when Matt said he was doing this today, I was like, well, you know, Maude and I do a show on Fridays that fits in with your theme perfectly.
Exactly.
So that's what we're doing. I also want to shout out Geeky Glamorous. Thank you so much for the raid. You are awesome. And Amy, just here below me, in case anyone's like, who's that cute brunette in the corner? That's Amy. And she will be a big part of Power Up as we do this. So Matt, we're going to check back in with you throughout each segment. The PWR in Power Up stands for playing, watching, and reading. And between each segment, we take a little break to shout out and thank all of our followers and subscribers. And we'll check back in with you, Matt, to see what the donation total is. Sound good?
Thank you so much. I'll be here.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right,
Maude. Have we got a mod in the chat there that's got the link to donate?
Yes. LC Minshew was throwing that donation link in there, but we'll have Matt in the meantime. If you're in that chat, spam that donation link. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.
Perfect.
So Without any further ado, shall we jump into what's going off?
Yes, what's going off for Playing? Help us with that, Amy Cassandra Martinez. You've got the news for us, and I'm super, super pumped about this one because I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan. So what we got?
Oh, really? Well, that's great to hear.
Spoilers.
Yeah, so we have spoilers. Ta-da, here it is. Look at it. It's gorgeous. I love these graphics. Look at them. Wait. Yes. That was right.
No, yeah, other way. Right there. Other way. Other way. Nope. You're pointing the wrong way. Definitely the wrong corner.
Look, if I do this, one of them will be right. Okay, so we have a new Assassin's Creed setting that's basically going to feature the Viking Age. We did get a trailer. Yeah, we got a trailer yesterday. But yeah, a Boss Logic actually tweeted a few days ago saying, I had the opportunity to work on one of my favorite video game franchises this year, and I'm excited to finally share this with you. It's gorgeous. When I was looking at graphics from it, I was like, is this a movie? This does come out holiday 2020. So it's right around the corner. I mean, we're already in May. So yeah. Do you guys like Vikings?
Yeah.
Holiday 2020.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing that I'm super stoked about is that as the Assassin's Creed franchise and Ubisoft always do such an amazing job being accurate to the time in history. It's always very well researched. In fact, so well researched that a lot of people use it for educational purposes. And I cannot wait to get into Norse
mythology. Age of Empires to help me with my homework, basically, and to learn about Mesopotamia and all that kind of stuff and the battle formations, phalanx, the armor. Mm-hmm. So I truly do believe that video games does in some way indirectly educate you. For me, and I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts in the comments, what is the best Assassin's Creed game to date? Because for me, it was Black Flag. And I played all of them.
You're a Black Flag stan.
Oh, it's so good. Like the sea shanties when you hit the water, I just absolutely loved it. And it kind of broke up enough to have like land battles and naval battles. Like it just provided enough. When I did Odyssey, we jumped back in the ship. But for me, Odyssey, even though I love ancient Greece and I love what it's all about, and I've learned and studied about it, I felt that it was a little bit grindy and it was the same. Like for some reason it was just not as adventurous with what to do. And I'm not a completionist when it comes to these because there's a lot of map. There's a lot of running off music.
I was going to say, does the open world structure drive you crazy?
I don't mind it so much because you'll unlock portions and then it's quite easy. Like when you have the towers, you unlock the maps. It's basically, I don't know who did it. I think Assassin's Creed did it first, and then Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War like just took that and ran. But I really like that way of discovering a map and having portions unlocked for you. Hell, Breath of the Wild even did it as well with the towers. So I'm super pumped for Vikings because I think it's going to be a lot like the TV show. And I kind of have been doing a True Blood rewatch, which is super uncomfortable because a lot of my now friends are in that. And a lot of
and you get closed. To see them naked.
Yeah, it's weird, guys. It's weird. I have had to make a few phone calls to be like, I am sorry
for seeing you in the nude. I'm never sorry for seeing Joe Manganiello in the nude, just for the record. I know. Do you know him in real life? I know he does a lot of stuff with, like, tabletop RPGs. I've never met him in real life. I was in an elevator with him once at Comic-Con, and I lost my mind.
Yeah, no, he's so nice as well, but he's, like, massive. He's a massive geek.
And a massive human. Like, his shoulders are so big. But, like, anytime I see him in anything, I unfortunately for him, he could have an Oscar-winning performance in a movie, and I'd still be like, what up, Alcide? How you doing, Alcide?
I'm Magic Mike. Are you kidding me here? So I did a set visit for Magic Mike, the second movie, and Sofia Vergara was on set. She was kind of, like, turning around to all us journalists being like, that's my man. And I was like, woo, well done.
Good for you.
But it was his turn to do, like, this dance kind of performance. And he did one take, and it was, like, a lot. He had to throw this girl sort of around him. And then all of a sudden, like, he kind of went off, and he was like that, and then we didn't see him for like 2 or 3 hours. He ripped his bicep, and I like saw it happen. Anyway, I've played with him my weekly game at D&D that we had. All of a sudden this giant walks in and I was like, hello, Joe. And it's a really funny story that I love telling because my character at that particular time, I built out and fleshed out her backstory so much, where she's an assassin and she, like, you know, went through this shadow guild and it was like all this thing to survive. And so she had a real survivalist mentality. And so every time we made camp or went to a tavern, I'd be like, peace, I'm going to make some money. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, She's gorgeous. She knows that it's a weapon. She's going to, it's 30 gold pieces if you want to tumble. And this is how I make some gold. And I kind of just saw it as a business structure. Anyway, of course, Joe sets up his character, you know, Arkhan, the Dragonborn. It's very famous at this stage. And the DM is like, all right, so you're at your camp. You set up camp. And the whole team look at me and they're like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I was like, I have to. So, Arkhan the Dragonborn, 30 gold pieces if you want to tumble. And he, in character, was like, what race are you? And I'm like, I put the wood in Wood Elf. And he goes, I've never been with a Wood Elf before. And my whole team were like, oh my God, stop it. And my DM was like, inspiration, because she didn't break character. Like, that's what her character would have done. And so that kind of moment, I was like, afterwards, I was like, Do I let Sophia know that I'm sorry? Like, obviously this is just it's a role-playing game, but yeah, that I'm blushing. That was my fun moment.
Kind of had a tumble with Joe Manganiello.
30 gold pieces, baby! And in D&D coins, that's pretty good. Like, you can buy a horse for 75.
See, so. Folks, anything can happen in Dungeons & Dragons.
My character now, though, she doesn't touch anyone. Like, it's not something that I, like, use D&D to kind of, like, you know, light that fire. Not at all. Most of my characters, I played a wizard and she was, like, Hermione. And she, like, couldn't rob anyone or take anything bad. She had to protect everybody. It was very arduous to play. But there you go.
Hilarious.
But this kind of conversation leads into what I am playing at the moment. So there is a bit of a segue. But, Trish, are you going to be playing this game? Are you going to be doing Vikings?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I loved Odyssey. I, like, every time I got a Sparta kick as Cassandra, I was like, yes, Sparta kick! I enjoyed it immensely. I was really into feeding people to sharks.
The sharks were kind of scary.
The sharks were cool. And I love ancient Greece, too. I'm a big classical language nerd, like Latin and Greek. So that appealed to me on many levels. I loved Odyssey. And yeah, I can't wait to get into Norse mythology. In the Assassin's Creed style. I'm down.
I have to have a word to Matt when he comes back because I used a lot of Latin in Fungens and Flagons to kind of like deliver hints. And of course, you know, the first character that they meet is Lady Ursa. And he's like, Ursa, that's bear in Latin. And I was like, fuck. You're not supposed to get that. They're like, you're not supposed to know that.
And Matt Lieberman, how dare you know Latin?
Yeah, like wrecked the whole thing for me. So I'm going to have a word with him about that because I was like, buddy, like I would never expect anyone to know Latin like that.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious. All right. So, Amy, thank you so much for what's going off. Let's move into what Maud and Trisha are playing. Let's see what we got.
Whoa. There's for the first time in a little while, there's been a few that I could talk about.
There have been. Hold on 1 second, and there we go. Got it.
Okay.
So we've got a bunch of different stuff here. Of course, my girl Tifa's in the middle because I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't know about you, Maud. I'm definitely still on that. But what are you playing?
I'm actually struggling with Final Fantasy at the moment. Some of the portions just are a little bit tricky, and I can't really just do my hack and slash, which I'm so used to doing. So, yeah, I have to be in a mood to play it now. But I am playing tabletop games, even though we're in lockdown. I mean, I used to do it, we'd all be together, it was a lot of fun like that, but I have moved to Roll20 to play my weekly Dungeons and Dragons game that I am now DMing. It's a very new game that I'm playing with Robert Buckley, who you guys may know from like One Tree Hill. He was in iZombie playing Major. He's an actor that I met at Comic-Con about 6 years ago, and we've kind of stayed friends ever since, which is really great. And he's been very desperate to play, and he hit me up and he's like, we had a DM, it didn't work out. Do you know anyone? Like, we'll pay someone to DM games for us. Do you know who would do it? And I was like, dude, me. And I was like, don't pay me. Like, I want to do this. And so we've been playing on Roll20, which can be a little clunky, and I'm learning it all for the first time. But I tell you what, if you are in a D&D group, do something good for your DM, because it is a lot of work.
Are you doing 5th edition?
5th edition, and I am doing this campaign. So the good part about like some of the... This is from the D&D Essentials kit, which you can also buy on Roll20. Big heads up, though, it is not the newest mod. It is a completely different campaign. Some of it overlaps, a lot of it doesn't, so that's kind of been a little bit difficult. But it very, very is good. Very, very is good.
Helps. It's very good.
It's very, very is good. First time how DM is, because it's basically instructional, where it's like, it's done all the thinking for you. It's got all the campaigns and the quests all written out. It's got the maps. It's got, like, you know, how many, who the enemies are and how many you should have to adapt. It's very, very easy in that regard, but to actually import maps and to build out it in Roll20 is really, really difficult. And one of the times where we were all together, I had to get gridded sort of paper and I had to draw the cave with, oh my God, it was so tragic. I am not gifted in that regard at all. But that game has been going really well. But a second night a week, I'm playing Harry Potter board game with my mates Kyle Newman, who I played D&D with, who was witness to my Dragonborn moment. And I play the tabletop game Galaxy of Crime, which is used to be weekly on Gegghead, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s Twitch channel.
Got it. Now, the Harry Potter game that you're playing, are you playing the deck building game?
It is. So it's called Hogwarts Battle of Hogwarts, I believe. You can get it for about $50 at Target, but it is a deck building game. It seems super complicated at first, but I have the best teacher, Deborah Ann Wall, who is also in True Blood, and she was in Daredevil. She has done an amazing job by importing the game, scanning all the components and putting into Roll20. So she technically has the game, and we would be playing it in the same room if we could, but because of lockdown, she's been brilliant about that. And I think we've had the blessing from Hogwarts, the board game company as well, which is so great. But we're all getting together. I'm playing as Ron, not surprised to anyone. She's playing as Hermione and Kyle is playing as Neville Longbottom. And you can purchase using these galleons, I guess, spells and items. And then you can collect allies as well, like Hagrid, Molly Weasley, and everyone has abilities where you kind of earn money so you can buy those cards. And then you can also cast spells so that you can attack like Death Eaters and enemies. And then you can also heal because you lose hearts as well.
Right.
Really hard to try and explain. Super challenging. That. Like super challenging. This isn't something that you can get through the whole time, but there's 7 years. And I think we're up to halfway through year three.
Yeah, there's 7 years. And I would say plan 1 year for each sitting, roughly. And don't try to get through more than that. I mean, if you blast through the first year, and I actually have played a bit of that game. That game, I think, is harder the more people you have playing.
Yeah, so we've only got three, and we've decided that was really good because I think it's a max of four. But I'll play some Harry Potter music while we're playing. Like, it's just been absolutely fantastic. I've been thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing, D&D and Harry Potter, Battle of Hogwarts, Hogwarts Battle.
Yay! So I have been playing Final Fantasy VII a ton. I am playing it dressed as Tifa on this Twitch channel, and it's been crazy. But that game is so long. I'm going to be like, and also Final Fantasy VII, like every week on this show for a month and a half, I'm sure. But the thing that I brought up to play, which you can see featured right over here, is Jackbox Party Pack, which a lot of people know Jackbox Party Pack. Anyone that came here from Matt Lieberman's charity stream today has probably been playing some Jackbox Party Pack today. But the reason that I wanted to recommend that for today's playing is because I don't play a lot of that game normally, but while we're all sheltered in place, I am playing a ton of that game because I have a lot of friends in my life that aren't necessarily video game people. And I have a lot of friends in real life that, you know, you can only have so many Zoom and wines before you're like, I'm kind of over just having a glass of wine over Zoom for an hour all the time.
Rock Party was doing really well because you could have trivia and you can play games in like a hangout capacity.
Exactly. And only one person needs to own the game. So if you're using Zoom or Google Meet or Skype or anything like that, whoever owns the game can open it up and then just share your screen. And then everyone else on the call uses their phone to put in their answers. And it's a way you can have a virtual game night, even with people who aren't necessarily gamers, and still have a way to do it. And the question I wanted to throw out to chat was if there are any other games that you're currently playing virtually where not everyone needs to own a copy of the game. So that way, if you're jackboxed out, if you have fibbaged and drawfuled and murder partied and that to your heart's content, you just can't do it anymore. You need something else. What do you use? So put that in chat because I would love to hear that. And then we can all share with each other great ways to virtually game online with our friends and family so that we can all be alone but together. That's the plan. That is the plan. All right, moving to Bombs Away Q&A.
What do we got?
Hi. Okay, so this question is from our Patreon. So make sure that you guys are supporting that. So this one's from Adam Tulo. So he asked, what is your favorite style of video game? For example, RPG, RTS, FPS, TCG, puzzle. What is it?
I think Trish and I have the exact same one. We have so much in common, and we can say it on three. One, two, three.
RPG. I was like, you're going to say RPG. And I honestly, I don't know that that would be my favorite.
Do tell.
I knew you were going to say RPG. So I was like, if we're going to say it together, I'm going to say RPG. I love simulation and time management games.
Time management games.
Yes. Yes. I love them. Yes. Anything where I get to play God and like control a city, I'll be like, oh, I'm just starting Frostpunk at 6 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it 4 o'clock in the morning? How did that happen? Like, that is the time hole.
Can you give me three of the Sims? Yes.
Sims, Frostpunk, SimCity, any of Animal Crossing would probably be considered a simulation game or time management game. Civilization, Anno 1800, like there's a ton of them. Roller Coaster Tycoon, if you want to throw it back into the day. But yeah, anything where it's like, I need to plan out a thing. And then, oh, this area is not working. Let me just adjust this here. Oh, let me just adjust. Hold on. I'm going to pause time while I redesign this. Okay, time in. Things are moving too slow, and I think I've got it set up well. So fast forward for a few hours. Okay, I see where my plan went awry. Let me just, and it's just that for hours.
Yeah, okay. I'll get that. I mean, I'm obviously having problems with some components of that with Animal Crossing. Like, I just want the garden to move itself at this stage. I don't want to have to be responsible for it. But I did have this breakthrough moment recently where I was, again, like watching something, playing on my Switch and playing a game on my iPad. And I was like craving The Sims. And I was like, man, how come The Sims needs a mobile app stat? And so I went onto the App Store and I looked at The Sims and there is a mobile Sims mobile game. And you bet your butt straight away I built a character, Maud. She's already like three careers into her barista career while her roommate is now becoming a chef. And like, I was just so into that straight away. Yeah,
I couldn't get into The Sims mobile game because it was too much like pay or wait. And I hate that in a mobile game. I just can't.
Same. It was like, do you want to watch this ad? It's only 10 seconds and it's not free 30-second ads. And I was like, fool me once, shame on me. But as far as I'm concerned, RPG games, you say you like time management games. I like time suck games. I am talking 100 hours to finish it. Witcher 3, all the Dragon Age games. Yes, including 2. I'll play it. Mass Effect games. I do prefer fantasy RPG games, but those big open world explorative games with super great character developments and you have a team and you can build relationships with them. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you play Pillars of Eternity and Divinity Original Sin?
I have them both. I think the tabletop kind of like sandbox-ish kind of...
the isometric view, is that what you're talking about? Where it's kind of like a top down, but not exactly. It's like quarter down.
Yes, it's a lot like Baldur's Gate, and I just struggled with that. I would much prefer a third person view, and I can actually see where I'm going in the map instead of like group cluster, you know, in a way. But then again, you know, I smashed out Diablo 3 again. Yes, I say a Diablo. I know it's Diablo, but I say Diablo. That's just
Diablo.
Twitch, do we have any questions out there for from the Twitch Dragon Riders? If you know, get it on in there with question all in caps so we can definitely see it. Amy is searching chat now.
I am searching.
Diablo is amazing. Agreed. Satoshi Shiba says, what's the Patreon? Patreon.com/GeekBomb, baby.
That's it. $5, $10, $40, $80, and there's different perks, and they're pretty cool. The Discord community is great, and we've now officially announced as the after show for Nerdist Book Club. So every for half an hour after every show, we have a personalized Q&A that we can jump on a call and talk. It's really cool.
And I see that GK Gamer Fan, thank you so much for being amazing, made a command Geek Bomb that will automatically pop up the Geek Bomb YouTube and Patreon, as well as Maud and Amy's Twitter links. So... command Patreon right there in chat. You got it. Thank you, GK. You're amazing.
Also, can we just take a second to appreciate the camera that I have right now? I'm looking at it and it's night and day from the other one that
I have. It's beautiful. It looks really good.
We have a question. We have a Twitch question. Yay. Okay. So this one is from the Catnip Ninja. If you made a video game of your life, what kind of game would it be?
That would be like a Sims time management game for sure. Hey, you have to choose one and do it successfully. Love life, career, or social life?
All of the above, baby. Stardew Valley it.
I like Stardew Valley a lot.
Yeah.
Except I missed one of the harvesting one of the vegetables needed to unlock the thing in the community hall.
Yeah.
And I had to wait a year. A year until I could complete that.
Yeah.
So every time I logged on, I was just filled with regret of bad gameplay for me. I blamed me. But yeah, I like
that. Everyone is loving your better camera, by the way, Mod.
Yes.
Yes.
What am I going to. This bloody thing here. Yeah, $200. And it just mucked my computer up.
Didn't do. What are you using now?
My inbuilt one on the computer.
Hilarious.
What? Oh.
Hilarious. All right, well, thank you to the Geek Bomb Patreon, Geek Bombers, and to the Twitch Dragon Riders for the question. We will do more Q&A after watching and after reading. But this has been playing. Thank you guys for watching. Let's go ahead and check in with Matt Lieberman.
Maddie!
Oh, hold on. I've got you muted, and I'm trying to unmute you. Can you unmute you?
Maybe once you're muted, that's it. Game over. Oh, no.
I can't unmute someone else. They have to unmute. There we are.
Okay.
Matt, what is our total? What are we up to?
Okay, so right now, we are sitting just shy of $1,700. That's $1,694.19. Okay? Within spitting distance of Big 17. So, if you haven't already, check the chat, !donate. !donate will take you to our Tiltify page where you can donate right now to help support direct relief and bring personal protective equipment to our doctors, nurses, hospital staff. It'll also get you a vote for our nuclear family retrospective where you can choose what videos we are going to be talking about. Every $5 donation counts as a vote. Please get those in. Help us cross 1700. I know we can do it.
So, Maddie, someone posted in the Geek Bomb Discord a GIF or a moment from one of the sketches where Will had, he was like, look at my tiny boy body, and I commented on it. I don't even remember doing that.
I do not remember this at all. And it's definitely from a Nuke Fam sketch?
I'm pretty sure. Why else would Will have his shirt off and I would be commenting on his little boy body? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember him being in... I think he was only in one Nuke Fam sketch. He wasn't really in them.
So, what was that one?
He was in what it feels like to show a friend a video, and he would definitely not have his shirt off in that. So the question is, what is it from?
He had his shirt off a lot.
Will had his shirt off a lot when I was there.
Yeah.
That's true. That it would not be surprising that he had his shirt off. In a sketch, I would be more than a little surprised.
All right, that's my next force-fed question. Whose body did you see the most of?
Steve.
Steve's butt.
No, I saw Will. Will with his shirt off more than Steve with Steve's butt.
But then
I think that really, it all depends on when you worked there and for how long.
I saw Steve's bubblegum.
That's what it's called? I didn't know that. I will never.
All the time. In the office, in public, all the time. He would take other people's phones and take pictures of it with their phones. Like, it was just a regular thing that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, and working at Geek Bomb's not so bad, huh?
Hey, now. Wow.
100% less bubblegum.
I guess. That's why, like, it was so funny. Like, back in our SourceFed day, in the beginning, they all thought everybody was sleeping together, and we very quickly put the kibosh on that, and we're like, oh no, everyone here like rapidly moved into sibling zone. When I was there, and it was Meg and me and Lee and Steve and Elliot and Joe, we all real quick went into sibling zone, where it was like, I don't know if it was because we were all
because you work together, you have to be together.
We worked together like 50 hours a week at that time too, because we were coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and not leaving until 5 or 6 in the evening every day. We were coming up with new shows and stuff all the time. Like, we didn't, I mean, in the beginning it was called 20 Minutes or Less. It wasn't even called SourceFed. Like, we were just trying to figure out life. And I think because we all came from like a theater background and had no problem like changing in the wings and stuff like that, like, people were just kind of naked a lot, and like, it was, it just very quickly became this like way super familiar thing, to the point where no one was really interested in each other in that way. Like, I think Phil tweeted out at one point that Lee Newton ruined girls for him. Like, he just wasn't into girls anymore because Lee would like fart and be half naked or in her bra around the office like all the time. And like, we all were just very comfortable with each other. That's what I should say. We were all very comfortable with each other. And so there was never any kind of like, oh, that person's so magical and tantalizing. It was like, no, I'm aware of what that is for all of us.
Yeah. No mystery whatsoever.
No mystery.
Trisha, would you have rather worked in the 3 years that you worked, or in the later pod? What do we call them? The later selection?
The later years.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't really know, I guess, what the later years were like. I mean, I have a lot of fond memories and a lot of hard memories from the time that I was there to get real talk. Yeah. And I'm sure that in your all's time, there was definitely that too.
Oh, but I mean, I've been open and honest about this. I think the last 2 months that I was working there, I went to the pub at lunch and I drank beers and then came back to work. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go again.
We did not do that.
Yeah. I'm going to, yep. Mike Falzone and Bree, we were in a beer club. Yep.
Well, keep in mind, during my SourceFed time, Steve Zaragoza was also straight edge.
That's true.
Oh, no, he was with us too.
Was he?
Yeah,
the whole time.
Well, no, he had, by the end, maybe you had left. By the end, I think he had started smoking marijuana.
Yeah, by the time he was dating Bree.
Change happened definitely while you were there.
Yes. Yeah, the pot. Yeah. The pot. I mean, clearly I'm at one with it. Oh, the pot. They were smoking the pot.
Ah, those the pots and pans.
Yeah.
I just really quickly want to give a shout out. We just crossed $1,700 for charity. I want to give a shout out to My Face. Mother's Face donated $20 via Tiltify, and Sarah M donated $10. Can we keep the donation train rolling right along? I think we can.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you guys so much. And I know during Power Up, I don't have the follower and sub notifications going. So let me very quickly see who we got here. Is Rackin75 gave a resub. Thank you so much. Welcome to all the new followers. There is a Discord. Welcome to the Dragon Rider community. That is the name of this Twitch community. There is a Discord that I urge you to join as well. It's a very lovely community of kind-hearted people that hang out and keep each other sane through all of this. It's amazing. I'm in there multiple times a day. CP Falcon, thank you for the resub at 49 months. You're amazing. And a tier 2 resub. You're a rock star. I saw Geeky Glamorous rated. Denoba, thank you for the resub. You're amazing. Stolen Tog, thank you for the resub. Who else we got? Ridian gifted a sub. Thank you so much, Ridian, for that. Let's see who else we got. Tough Cat subbed. Thank you so much. Hey, Lieberman, thank you for the host.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks,
and
dude.
I wanted to say hi to Tough Cat as well. Hello, yes. Tough Cat.
Quim by Joe, thank you for the sub using Twitch Prime. You're amazing. Who else we got in here? Thank you for the follows. Thank you for the follows. Ready Player Kev, I really like your name, by the way. Okay, yeah. And that catches us up. So those are announcements. Matt, thank you so much for giving us the roundup of what was going on, and just for the lovely chat and SourceFed memories. We're going to move into the watching portion of the show, and then we'll be right back with you, Matt, to talk about where the donations are. Sound good?
Please do. You talk about watching, and I will be watching.
Yay! Perfect! How very ideal! Easy. Okay, see you in just a bit. All right. So let me real quick, before we jump in, Maude, just go ahead and, as much as I love Valhalla, take it right on off the screen. And
I could be a Valkyrie.
You could. Let me just take this off and then we'll start again with watching. Whenever you're ready, Maude, take us in.
Fantastic. Welcome to the watching portion of Power Up. Hi, Maud Garrett here, joined by Trisha Hershberger, which is that way. I'll get it right eventually. Where we're going to talk about what we are currently watching, whether it's a movie, whether we're streaming a new show, what we're watching. And we obviously implore you to tell us what you're watching as well, because this is a community based on recommendations. To kickstart watching, though, we do have Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb, who's going to give us the lowdown, what's been going off in all movie and TV news. What we got?
You guys, this is a big one. So for the first time ever, a streaming film may skip a theatrical release entirely and still remain eligible for the Academy Awards. So obviously this is because of the pandemic going on. So the rule is not expected to last beyond the 93rd Academy Awards that are still scheduled for February 28th, 2021, which is almost a year away, but still, I mean, we kind of have to think about these things.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll get a handful of movies that released before everything shut down. So anything that came out January, February, March. So people are saying that Birds of Prey could get Film of the Year.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Oh, yes, that's what people are saying.
Yeah, because it's like only 3 movies came out. Like, Onward was in cinemas for 2 weeks before it went to VOD. What else came out?
Well, what was the last movie that you guys saw in theaters? Mulan. I saw The Invisible Man.
Oh, got it.
Mulan, we saw it together.
Yeah, I saw Mulan with Trisha, but I also saw, I think it was the last one, Quiet Place 2.
Mm.
And okay. I did all the jumping for it, and then they were like, ha, kidding, don't play it because it's embargoed until we release it.
So sad. I mean, I think what makes this huge news, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but the Academy has always turned up its nose at streaming services. And so if a movie was a Netflix original or something like that, they have started to consider streaming original movies as movies. But there's always this idea in traditional media that digital media or streaming media doesn't count or is somehow less than stuff that gets a traditional theatrical release out of a major studio. So I think this is a huge win for streaming media and digital media. And I hope that, I know they're saying it's not going to extend in the next year, but I kind of give that a big eye roll. And I hope that extends, because as we've seen in YouTube, and digital creation and digital content versus television, that even though, and I will tell you, and Maud can tell you this from firsthand knowledge, TV execs and movie execs are still like, oh, I'm sorry, you do digital media? That's cute. And it's like, dude, a lot of the digital media gets better ratings than your stupid TV show.
Fun fact, the TV outlet that I work for, I have had some of my videos get 3 times the views than a national show gets when it airs.
Right. Yeah. Yet still somehow it's seen as like, oh, you're just playing at the kiddie table. So I hope that this makes a big difference with the Academy moving forward. And I hope that they are legit down to consider digital and streaming media as just as much of an art form as the traditional stuff.
So Netflix has been really tricky about that, about being a contender at the Academy Awards, and they have bought like Roma, which was I think a contender for so many different nominations 2 years ago. Alfonso Cuarón,
2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Cuarón.
Thank you. I mean,
you're welcome. I got you.
But we have you. So what they'll do is they'll put it in cinemas for the 2 weeks, which is like the minimum time that it has to be in cinemas to be recognized for an Academy, and then they'll pull it off and launch it as like a Netflix exclusive, which I think is super smart, because they are basically going, yeah, you've been around for 93 years, Academy Awards, but we've got to get with the times. This is where we're at the moment. And I really dig that. I think it's really kind of crazy how incredibly established events like the Academy Awards, like the Olympics, which have been going on for hundreds of years, that it's no longer stopping. It's no longer happening because of it. And yeah, you're right. When this has disrupted movies so much that I have no idea how it's going to look, but they're going to have to adjust because.
I mean, there's currently one stipulation, and that is that only the films that had a previously planned theatrical release are still eligible. So if there was a movie that was going to come out just, you know, through streaming, they're still not going to count.
I mean, can they say they were?
But that's only a month's worth of movies. Ooh. Like Mulan, like, you know.
Yeah.
Quiet Place 2. That's only because they'd already put in the money for advertising, for premieres, for junkets, you know. The marketing budget
was in the right direction. Yeah.
So I guess out of the movies from that were released in January, February, March, what's a contender?
The Invisible Man!
Yeah.
So good.
I didn't see that yet.
So I know, I should have supported Lee Winnell, but someone said it was like really quite frightening, like disturbing. I'm not good with that.
Yeah. There's no Chucky though, so I think you're okay.
How dare you, you get one and you used it.
All right, welcome. Amy, thank you so much for What's Going Off. You're an absolute treasure and we will be back with you in just a bit. All right, Maude, what are you watching?
I actually think we're both watching the same thing. I got a code to watch Upload because of Quibi, and I think it only came out today.
Yep, it comes out today. Today.
That's it, Friday. So it launched on Friday, but I was able to watch it a couple of nights ago to talk about it and to give an honest review about it. I only watched the pilot episode. I really like the concept. I feel like it's very Good Place meets...
I've been saying The Good Place meets Black Mirror.
Yes, exactly. The San Junipero episode, or like those ones where that, you know, like that dating app, almost that sort of feel where it's a virtual afterlife where you're not actually living it, but you get the perks of all of it. I what do you think of this show? Because I think I'm going to be a little bit more critical on it.
I have seen the first four episodes, and I think it's really good. There's times that the humor is a bit crass for my taste.
So this is the issue that I have. Like, I feel like it's trying to have three different tones. So sometimes it'll be super cheesy and family-friendly, and let's like have real family moments. But then, like, 7 seconds later, there's quite a naked sex scene happening. And you're like, whoa, that's such an adjustment.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Not for sitcom. It's not for kids. I mean, I kind of think of it as you would think of Black Mirror, which can be quite disturbing. There are definitely kind of times and moments where it goes there. But it's from the same brain as Parks and Rec and The Office. So, like, you know it's going to be funny. And there's definitely laugh-out-loud moments in it. But, yeah, it took me off guard how it will sometimes flip to something that you're like, oh, like, I actually had Logan in the room at one point that I was like, whoop, nope, 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 nope.
I mean, I was watching it by myself, but I kind of also had to look around and just be like, oh, goodness, I don't want anyone to see me watching this. But I like the concept of it all. Like, I think one of the standout lines in the pilot was, what was it? It was that throwaway line where it's like, oh, that this person passed away. And then it was like, oh, come on, help me out with this one. Oh, it was on top of my tongue before. But
is it like, where are they being uploaded to or something?
Yeah. What, which, are they in heaven? Yeah, which one?
Yeah.
Because it's like there were different sort of like.
Oh, yeah. And you can like pay for different afterlives. And it's there's a lot of social commentary. I just think it's a really, like you said, a really, really smart concept. Really cool world building. I have now seen the first four episodes and I'm excited to see more. I got to see the first four early as part of a brand deal with Amazon, which I'm really excited about. And I think I just posted about it 2 days ago on Instagram, something like that. But, I mean, when you give me something that, like, theology nerd who's also a tech head, when you give me something that's like, oh, let's talk about how technology and artificial intelligence and VR can affect our afterlife potential and what, you know, I'm like, oh, like, it's that's like my perfect ice cream sundae. So, thank you. Yeah. Yes, give it to me. I will eat it all.
A reason why you should watch this show, there's actually really great chemistry between Robbie Amell and the person playing like his concierge, I guess, to the real world. It's actually a really endearing, beautiful love story. So I like that side of it all. I've been watching something else that's a little bit different. We had been reading The Hobbit. I was reading it for Nerdist Book Club. You were reading it for the National Tolkien Day.
Tolkien Reading Day,
Reading Day. I had never seen the 1977 animated movie. Yeah, so I watched that for the first time this week.
Oh, my goodness.
What a trip. It's so funny. It only goes
What did you think of it as an adult?
So that's the thing. It's incredibly dated. It's a musical. There's so many songs in it. And I've been saying this about The Hobbit from the get-go. The animation style I don't love, but again, it's very reminiscent of the late 70s. I felt like the Beatles were about to pop out behind a bush and be like, oh, now we're going to go in this mountain. But initially I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to be high, I guess, watching this because it is a little bit trippy dippy. But then yeah. the scene with the spiders, and I posted this on my Twitter timeline. I did a watch party with Nerdist, so you can see all my thoughts as I was watching it. The spiders are frightening. They're like, yeah. And I was like, if I was high, I would be crying in a corner right now. But I think it was a really concise story, and I think it's so different that this animated story can tell the story of The Hobbit in 77 minutes, whereas Peter Jackson tells it in 17 hours.
I know. Yeah. We talked about it. But the animated Hobbit that you're referencing, the 77 movie, that was my first introduction to anything in the Tolkienverse. And like, wow. So like I watched that as a kid, and like when people were getting all huffy about Peter Jackson's The Hobbit having like silly songs in it, I'm like, because The Hobbit has silly songs in it. What?
It does. Like, I can't believe The Hobbit hasn't been turned into a Broadway musical. Like, right?
Well, I mean, it has a lot of songs in it. It's written as a children's tale. But yeah, I love the 77 Hobbit. I understand it's a little weird at times and doesn't necessarily translate and hold
it's
up.
It's really fast, yeah.
He's super fun. I love it. The other thing that I was going to say that I'm watching is McMillions.
I've heard about this. This is like a pretty warped documentary, right?
Did you watch it?
No, but I've heard all about it, and everyone who's watched it has loved it.
Yeah, McMillions, for those of you who haven't heard about it, is basically a documentary about what went down with the mafia and the McDonald's Monopoly game for years.
So like job.
Everyone that won the $1 million from the McDonald's Monopoly game, it was rigged by the mafia. And that sounds like some crazy stuff, but that, yeah, Amy's face right now is hilarious. I know you guys can't see Amy, but that's what happened in real life. And this is a documentary telling you all about it and interviewing the people involved and everything. And it is freaking fascinating. Watch me.
But aren't like, the people really in the documentary just as like loopy and caricatures and so outrageous that like that in itself is entertaining?
Yes and no. Some of them are very normal, which is also terrifying. Like some of them are very much like, yeah, you know, well, like what would you do if someone said, hey, I've got a way that you can come like, they told them, like,
say,
I can sell you this winning Monopoly piece for a dollar or whatever, and then you can be the $1 million winner, and all you have to do is, like, share the winnings with me. Like, how many people that are in a hard spot would be like,
did they all go to jail?
Well, you'll have to watch the documentary and find out how it played out. But it's
super quick. Oh, sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead. It's super fascinating. Go ahead, Maud.
Well, I just realized there was one more picture there. Where are you? There for Extraction. And I want to shout out to my fellow Aussie, Chris Hemsworth, because this is like a movie where it's super, super action-based and it's Thor without the hammer, but he's got a sniper. He's got a gun instead. Very, very graphic and gory. What I'm interested about this one, and I hit up my Twitter feed, it's quite split. A lot of people loving the action, some people needing more story behind it. But I just wanted to give that a recommendation because I watched it this week.
Yay! Huzzah! Ooh. Awesome! Ready. All right, moving into Bombs Away Q&A with Amy. So Twitch, get your questions ready.
You're perfect.
Your questions. So this first question is from our Patreon over at Geek Bomb. So patreon.com/geekbomb. This one is from Bomber Backer Nick Perry. So he asks, what is your most ship of all time?
My most ship to ship?
Yes.
Huh. Who do I ship? We need to get these questions ahead of time, I feel like, because I want to be good at without saying for 17 seconds.
Most I do want to say that Nick Perry's responsible. Time. I don't know. Who do I?
Nick Perry got me this.
Together.
Oh, well, why isn't it working? Oh, yeah, there it is. They'll work.
Everyone in chat, in Twitch chat, is saying Smod.
Of course. I mean, if there's a subreddit. Uh-huh.
I mean, I love me some Christian and Satine from Moulin Rouge. Ewan McGregor. Oh, wait. STS just said Buffy and Angel. Buffy and Angel is a real good answer.
Willow and Oz.
Willow and Oz is an okay answer. I like Willow and Tara, too.
Oz was the best guy. Like, he taught younger men how to be a good, decent person. I liked that.
He was a good dude.
Spike and Drew.
Now we've got the Buffy and Spike versus the Buffy and Angel people in Twitch chat right now. I am a Buffy and Angel in a very similar way that for True Blood, I'm all about Bill Compton. I like the broody guy.
Eric Northman!
Eric Northman is hot, but then are you a Buffy and Spike dude?
No!
But that, it's the same thing.
I see your point.
Because it's like, ooh, the bad guy. He's so sexy. And, like, also, like, kind of lighter featured and super cut and thin. And, like, that's the Eric Northman and Spike thing. Or are you going for the guy who just broods over you and pines over you and all he wants to do is be with you, which is the Bill Compton and the Angel?
Buffy and Angel, but Sookie and Eric Northman. Don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't mind Spike. I'm still in my rewatch and I'm only on end of season 4, and I think that happens around season 5 and 6. So I'll check back in with you about where my
Spike thing gets crazy in the UPN seasons when it moved network.
Can I ship myself and Chris Evans?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah, perfect. I like that ship. Yeah, I'm going to go Buffy. I'm going to go Buffy and Angel. STS, I'm
staying. Well, my ship needed a captain, so.
I like it. I like it. I'm down. I will ship that for you as well.
Yeah.
All right, cool, Amy. Someone
ships Trish and Tifa. That's a... Yeah.
A Tifa, my girl. If I was going to go for a lady, where you at, Tifa?
Hey, girl. Okay, so Twitch viewer Aiden Live Dreaming says, what do you think of the Midnight Gospel?
What is that?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll Google it quickly.
Is it okay, a new there show? Was also another question.
Television series, guys. It came out in 2020. It's super new. It's got 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. A space cast traverses trippy worlds inside his universe simulator, exploring existential questions about life, death, and everything in between. You can catch it on Netflix.
Sounds like something I would totally be into. And as soon as I'm done uploading Money Heist, I will jump on that.
Where are you up to in Money Heist? I still want to get back into that.
I'm like two episodes into season 2.
I'm going to have to do it. Oh, yeah. No, I started watching Community. It's so good. And ship me and John McHale. Done.
John McHale. He's a cute dude. Yeah. I get it. All right, Amy, thanks so much for the bombs away Q&A. You are awesome. Folks, this has been this week's watching. Tell us what you're watching in the comments.
Let us know. Thanks so much. Reading will be next, so don't go anywhere.
Okay, and now let's check in with that Matt Lieberman. Unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself. You are muted. Gentlemen to bed.
Oh, he turned his video. Hit the other one. No, the other
this
one.
This is why I have the technical difficulties.
Skull Castle Grayskull. Okay, I have by the power of Grayskull, I am not muted anymore. Thank goodness. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Matt. Hi. How's it been going over on the fundraiser side of things?
So on the fundraiser side of things, things are going really well. We got a $100 donation from Mikey, bringing us over $1,800. We're at $1,824.19. I'd like to see that continue to go up. Be sure to donate, and I think we can crack $2,000. If we crack $2,000 with this stream, I'm going to post the entire thing on YouTube for everyone who wanted to be here but couldn't today. So not only will you be helping out our incredible doctors, nurses, and hospital staff by getting them the all-important PPE that they need, but you'll also be helping your fellow former SourceFed fans, SourceFed nerd fans, Nuclear Family fans, by getting this stream up on YouTube where it belongs.
Get that PPE. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me. You know me.
Perfect.
We're trying to figure stuff out because legitimately at some point during the last hour of my stream, both my computer and my AC decided to crap out at the same time. So
That's a bad scenario.
We are making things happen. Let's keep the stream alive. And you guys, your show has been amazing. I've been enjoying it the entire time.
Hey, really quickly, with your nearly $2,000 benchmark that we're at and you started at 1 o'clock this afternoon, which hour has brought in the most money so far?
Usually the first, right? The first hour in any charity stream is usually...
The first hour did bring us to almost $1,000.
Right.
So, but in spirit, you guys have raised the most spirit, which is just as important, if not more so, during any live stream.
That's,
you've raised my spirit considerably as I'm trying to wrangle an angry laptop.
Oh my god, that's funny. Well, Rodney says, hashtag pray for Matt.
Matt, after hashtag the stream, pray. If you want me to stay on and help you tech troubleshoot, I totally will.
You are a godsend and I appreciate it. Streamlabs thankfully launched a beta version for Mac only a couple weeks ago, and it is a beta. It is very much a beta.
Streamlabs OBS, when it originally was on PC, was very much in beta as well.
Yeah. So we're doing it. Sisters are doing it for themselves. That's what's going on over here.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Well, thank you for the update. You're an amazing human. I'm so glad that you're doing this and that you had Power Up be a part of it. It's awesome. Thank you to everybody who's here watching today. You guys are all awesome sauce, and it's for a great cause.
Yes, and I'm so grateful to all of you for taking part of it. And thank you to the Dragon Rider Army and to the Geek Bomb community for joining forces for charity and bringing some much-needed love to the front lines of this pandemic. Thank you.
Huzzah! Yeah. I want to take this moment to welcome all the new followers and thank you guys for being here. Also, super thank you to FHS White Stallion, who subbed using Twitch Prime. You're amazing. If you don't know what that is, if you have Amazon Prime, you get one free Twitch sub that you can use anywhere on Twitch. So if you use your free, if you haven't used your free Twitch sub yet that comes with your Amazon Prime account, happy to have you. Thank you. FHS White Stallion, welcome to the Dragon Riders. Jadeen93, also subbed using Twitch Prime. Thank you so very much. Fun Run, also subbed using Twitch Prime. Welcome to the Dragon Rider Army, guys. We are, in fact, building an army, and we are so very grateful for you. As well, if you're interested in joining the Geek Bombers mod, how can people become a Geek Bomber?
Yeah, we got a Patreon. So head over there, patreon.com/geekbomb. We've got 4 different tiers with amazing perks in them, including access to a Discord, which will get you book club, the official Nerdist book club after shows every single week. You get your questions prioritized on Power Up, which you're pretty much guaranteed to ask. And that's every week as well. I have a photo shoot that I do, and you guys get between sort of like 6 to 10 exclusive images with that every single month. And then my top tier crew, we do a hangout where for a couple of hours actually over wine usually we have a catch up and a chat, and it's really, really fun. And plus I think in this month I've been giving out my Nintendo Switch code so that we could all play Animal Crossing together.
Yay!
And Marco, I didn't get pears and cherries today, but I was busy, but I will visit your island very, very soon. So yeah, there you go. Thanks everyone for talking, both of us.
Yay! And Elsie Minshew just put a highlighted comment in chat saying we are at $1,974.19. So I think the reason that we're seeing Matt's ceiling or whatever that is because he's busy dealing with donations that just came in. And he's muted
it's huge,
again.
It's enormous!
And Matt, we can't hear you. There you go.
Yes. Oh my gosh, my hype is even bigger than my frustration with Streamlabs, and I never thought that could be surmounted, but holy cow, am I freaking out for a positive reason right now, because you are amazing. Every single last one of you is an inspiration, and you should walk tall, or even if you're on your couch or sleeping in bed, lie tall, sit tall, be tall. You are so very, very looming large in my esteem, and I'm grateful to all of you.
Chat saying we just passed 2,000.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh, we're losing our minds. It's pandemonium in the Libra Dome, aka my home, where we are trying valiantly to get streams and air conditioning in working order, in that order.
So while you're tech troubleshooting, you don't mind if Power Up goes long, right?
No, I don't.
Great, because we're running about 20 minutes over.
We're going to punch out this last little bit. We can probably condense it down to 10:15.
Okay. As the saying goes in show business, vamp. Please vamp. We're figuring it out. Vamp. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
absolutely take all the time you need. We will be here.
Okay. Well, we've only done the P and the W of the Power Up podcast.
Which means that next is the R.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is that going to become a thing now? Now that you said that, I'm never going to forget that.
Well, there's two different versions. Amy had the R, and I had the R.
We can.
Are we a cat or a pirate? Or a pirate cat?
Pirate cat. Oh, someone's going to draw that pirate cat.
Right, so the eye patch and the pirate cat.
It just perfect. Patch us into that one.
All right, Matt, we will let you back to tech troubleshooting as move into reading. Thank you for the update.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Let me just go ahead and reset us here before we move in.
Yeah, now there's a debate in the chat whether it's R or R. Win. R or R.
Perfect.
Sweet. Time for reading.
Let's do it.
Let's open them books and get stuck into it. R is for reading. What's up? Maud Garrett here with Trisha Hershberger, and we are talking about what we have been reading lately. This is an amazing geek community where we share what we're doing, so you talk about what you're doing. To top it all off, though, to kickstart this, we've got Amy Cassandra Martinez, who's from Geek Bomb, who's going to be giving us some reading news in a segment we like to call What's Going Off.
What's going off, Amy?
Well, okay, so there is a Hunger Games prequel that will be released in 18 days. You're watching this right now live. It is in 18 days.
What?
So, yeah. Isn't that crazy? So it's called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I really like the cover. I love that green. So basically this is a 528-page novel, pretty long. And it's a prequel to The Hunger Games. It focuses on the teenage character of Carolianus Snow. I got it right. Who would grow up to be the diabolical president of Panem. So this takes place about 64 years before The Hunger Games.
So
now I have seen the movies, but I'm interested.
I first read this book. I know what house I was living in. So let me do some maths. It was 2010. So I was 13.
When you first read The Hunger Games, you're saying?
When I first read The Hunger Games, yeah. And I read the first two books like instantly. I don't even know if the third book had come out at that stage. There were three books or there are only two books?
There's three books. And when I first started dating my now husband, he was like, yo, you should read these books. They're really good. And he was like, my sister makes fun of me for reading them because he says they're like girl young adult fiction. But he was like, whatever, they're good and I think you'll like them. And he gave me the first Hunger Games book and I was like, yes, this is amazing. Also, you're amazing. Great taste.
Aw, I like that. Look, I don't like it when it's like it's a girly book just because there's a female protagonist. Like, it is a war novel. It's a, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of like scenario. Ooh, I smashed my knee against the desk.
Owie. So if this is President Snow's story, I hope that this starts out in a society that's much like our current society and shows us how we got to the dystopian society that Hunger Games lives in, because that's the kind of stuff I like, much like the Animatrix is to the Matrix. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Animatrix. It's amazing. You should. But the Animatrix takes us from like our current modern day up until the world that is the Matrix and shows you step by step how we got there. And I think that's fascinating. And I really hope that this is what that is for the Hunger Games.
So I've just looked it up on Audible instantly because that's what I do. And you can pre-order it right now. But what I also noticed is that they've gone back and re-narrated Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay. Tatiana Maslany is the narrator. Yeah.
Who is that?
Tatiana Maslany, who is from Orphan Black, who I sat across from at the Critics' Choice Awards 3 years ago, and I was just like, nah, chatting, drinking, the more I drank, I was like, I love you. Can we have a photo? I might actually post that photo again. She's the best. She's awesome. I've interviewed her a bunch, and she's an incredible actress, but I'm going to pre-order that one because that sounds amazing.
Did you say she's also doing this new book that's coming out?
Is not, no. Oh. Yeah, I think it's a male author because isn't it from the male's perspective?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe there's a male narrator because it's following President Snow. That sounds fascinating. Amy, thank you for that. That's the best news I've heard all day.
Hey.
Have you read these books? I'm guessing yes.
Have Amy? I read what?
Have I read these books?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen the movies. No.
Okay. Read the books. Read the books.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. I really want to draw attention to Shark with Class, who joined in the discussion and said, I'm currently reading The Name of the Wind. And to that I say, amazing. Patrick Rothfuss books are phenomenal. Hopefully we'll be getting more, but that is one of my favorite books of all time. So the fact that you're reading it, you can listen to it as well. I try to read it every 2 years because it's so amazing. But I guess the conversation we're having now is, what are we reading? Trish, what's got your eyes on words?
Thank you, Amy, for the news.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay, let's see. What am I reading? I am currently reading something that I go back to all the time, and I feel like I have talked about on the internet so many times that people are like, Trisha, stop talking about it. Lock and Key, the graphic novel series. This is volume 4, but I reread this.
What do you
think
happened between the comic book and the show? What happened? What was
I know
missing?
Exactly what happened.
Go. I want to hear this.
The studio said, I don't think you're going to be able to do really, really dark, disturbing horror with small children, which is what is so good about the books. So they said, why don't you make it more like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch or a Riverdale where it's creepy and there's murder and very bad things happening, but it's also like a lot of teen romance and drama. And so it's like Dawson's Creek if there was murder to throw it back. As opposed to this, which is a Stephen King novel with children. This is much more in the vein of It, and the show is much more Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And that is my personal problem. I think there were studio execs that said, it's going to sell a lot better if you don't make it dark and disturbing as AF, I will
say.
That's
really tough, because I feel like a lot of kids are actually better with some horror themes before they grow a bit older and get more. I mean, I became more sensitive towards horror the older I got.
Oh, I didn't. I messed up for life because I watched Alien as a kid. Messed up for life.
How old were you?
5 or 6. Yeah, messed up for life. I can't even hear the X-Files theme without being like, ugh. Like, I can't do UFO sightings. I saw that trending on Twitter the other day. I was like, nope, hard nope. Like, I just can't. I can't do aliens. I love sci-fi. Can't really do aliens. I have xenomorph pajama pants to help myself overcome the fear. Like, I try really hard, but it's a lot for me.
That's scary.
But I like that you were able. It's why I'm still scared of dinosaurs, because I watched Jurassic Park too young. It's stupid to be scared of dinosaurs, and I'm scared of dinosaurs. So I had a problem watching horror stuff as a kid.
I have recurring velociraptor nightmares.
Me too.
I think the worst one, I won't share that, but I basically sacrificed a young girl so that everyone else could live. She was knocking on the cabin door to come in, and I was just like,
nope.
Everyone else got up. She's doing this to herself, but I'm going to get hungry after her, so.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, I love these comics. Yeah. I go back and read them often, and if you want the audiobook version of it, I talked about this in my Amazon live stream earlier today. If you want the audiobook version of it, Haley Joel Osment and friends did a radio play of the entire series, and it was so good it won Audible's Audi Award in 2016. Ooh. It's super well done, and I think that adaptation of these is a million times more accurate than the TV show. But people who aren't familiar with the source material for Lock and Key are really enjoying the TV show in a very Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Riverdale kind of way. Like, not that those are bad shows, because they're not. Riverdale's a super guilty pleasure for me. So if you didn't know what it was coming from, I think you would find Lock and Key more enjoyable. But when you love the source material as much as I love the source material, the TV show was a huge letdown.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah, what are you reading, Maud?
So you can see a couple of the Dresden File titles there. I have obviously made my way through all the Dresden File books. This is the story, it's a supernatural detective story following Harry Dresden, who is Harry the Wizard, but nothing like Harry Potter. Instead, it's in Chicago. He faces, he's a detective, so he's looking into all of these cases with fairies and vampire and werewolves. And we've covered the first two books on Geek Bomb's book club.
But a book that I hadn't read yet was one called Briefcases. So what Jim Butcher had done, because these books, I think there's about 16 or so in the series, he does short stories that are dispersed between in the times when the books came out. So it was like, it adds to the story and fleshes out the world. And in Briefcases, you see a lot more from perspectives of different characters instead of Harry. So I've really been enjoying watching that. And I have said it every other time, but I'm noticing that I need to listen to James Masters narrate a book to me. We were talking about, are we team Spike or Angel? Fuck it, I'm team Spike, and I have to be, because James Masters is my man, and his narration is the best thing you'll ever hear. So I'm so blessed that I still had a book that I hadn't listened to yet. If you are a part of Geek Bomb's Discord and Patreon, you'll know that we've covered these books and spoken extensively about it. I'm going to call Thierry, a guy who's in the community. He's an expert. He's on his third listen through in about 6 months. So he's like just churning through this. I've definitely converted him, and I've converted a lot of others onto the series. It's so great, especially listening to it. So yeah, I'm just kind of glad that I'm able to extend that. And the next book in the series by Jim Butcher, I've pre-ordered it. I think it's coming out relatively soon. So there you go. That's what I've been reading.
Awesome. Super, super cool. I have not read those at all, but everyone in chat is like, Dresden, Dresden. And you have sold me on Spike's narration so much that I now just want to like look up what he narrates and just get his books.
So proceed with caution, because he's going to wreck every single other book for you if you listen to Audible. He's so good that everyone else is just trash fire.
And I kind of felt that way about mutual friend Will Wheaton's Ready Player One. He does a great Ready Player One, in my opinion. And he made me listen to the rest of Ernest Cline's stuff that he narrates.
Yes.
Because he makes it so interesting.
Also, he recently reread the Martian Chronicles, I'm pretty sure. Ooh. So if you want more Will Wheaton, yeah, get that one too.
Ooh, yeah, I like him.
He's been on a lot of our D&D group sessions because he was working on that Audible read. So cool. Make it worth my while. Yes.
Yay! All right, so that's what we're reading. Let us know what you're reading in chat and in the comments, please. And we shall take it to Bombs Away Q&A. So get those questions ready. Amy?
Hi, guys. Yeah, like Trish said, just get those questions going right there below. You can't see my hand. There it is. Hi. Okay, so this one is from our Patreon, Geek Bomb's Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one's from Efrain Pesantes. Have you developed any new skills since you've been social distancing?
Yes, I've been learning Japanese.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I like how you casually dropped that bomb. Oh, yeah.
Well, the first week when so there was like a week in between being on set for Quibi and then figuring out that we were going to have and shoot it from home. And so for 1 week I think I was only working about half an hour to an hour a day instead of 10 to 14. So in that week I started Duolingo, which is you can learn a language for free. And my neighbor was learning Spanish and I was just like, I remember learning Japanese in high school and I loved it. And I still have like some phrases. And I went to Japan with Dan Casey from Nerdist and Mari, who speaks, obviously she's Japanese, and Dan Casey is fluent in Japanese. And I remember going, yeah, I know some Japanese. And then I hung out with them for a few days and I was like, I know nothing. So I wanted to go back and just like work on that. The only problem is I wish they would just teach it through vernacular only, but they teach you using, I think, is it called kanji? It's the actual caricatures of the lettering. Oh, and that, wow. Like, Japanese to actually say it and to read it, very different things. Trying to learn them both.
Atalane in Twitch chat says Lingo Deer is better for Japanese.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, because I'm struggling with that. So I think I actually might jump over to Spanish on Duolingo. And if that's the case, what's it called? Lingo Deer? Leave those deers out of it. Lingo Deer.
That's awesome. I'm like embarrassed to say mine now. I learned how to make meatballs. So I'm over here like, I learned how to make meatballs. You're like, I'm learning Japanese. I am a horrible cook. I am not the wifey in the kitchen for sure. Like, I can make get by meals. When I started dating my husbando, he was microwaving frozen burritos. So I only had to do better than that. And I'm better than that. but that I'm not, like, I have friends that are like, oh, yeah, you know, you can use apricot preserves to sweeten the sauce on the, and I'm like, okay, you're beyond me. And so many of my friends in quarantine right now are, like, learning to make these brilliant, crazy meals. I did make a turkey once, STS, and I made it in a crock pot. I can cook things in a crock pot because you just put them in, put the lid on, and hit go for 6 hours and walk away. But I'm not good at, like, I don't know, my mom bought me, like, Rachel Ray's Easy Recipes recipe book, and it's like, saute the potatoes until they're flirting with tenderness. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
Is that why I like potatoes so much?
Rachel Ray?
I'm like, saute, I think means heat. What kind of pan? Yeah. Is there oil in that? Yeah. I don't know.
Saute is on a pan.
Yeah. Like, I'm cooking dum-dum over here. I'm a total noob chef. But I found a recipe for sneaky spinach meatballs because you're sneaking spinach in so that my baby will have some spinach. And I made sneaky spinach meatballs, and they were really good.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is a good achievement. Like, I think for the first month of lockdown, I didn't eat any vegetables. So, I mean, I drank a lot of grapes, but aside from that, like, no. So then last week I bought a bunch of fresh produce, and yeah, you made some great, like, grilled veggies and chopped salads. And yeah, I was pretty stoked with all of that. How is our stream going? Because it looks like it has paused on my computer.
Oh, are we buffering a little? We're buffering a little.
We do have a question from Twitch viewer STS2884. Go to superpower you always wanted.
I mean, flight.
No, flying. Oh, God, Trish, do I have to go through this with you? If you fly, you still have to get from A to B, and it takes that time. The higher you go, the colder it gets. If you drop out of there because you pass out because of lack of air, you're dead.
I understand analytically flight is not the smart choice, but I really just want the experience of flying. Not for the teleportation, because then you just go teleportation. I just want to be a bird. I just want to swoop around and never high. And I have a fear of falling. I would never have a fear of falling ever again.
If not that one, I would like to do some shape-shifting, whether it's shifting into an animal or being able to manipulate sort of like how I look and like distorting features, like, you know, putting on someone's voice, different voice, something like that. That would be kind of cool.
What was your first choice?
Teleportation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for transportation reasons, teleportation's the way to go. You wouldn't go like mind reading or walking through walls.
I don't want to know what people are thinking. Okay. I already have to read the comments, and trust me, that's too much already. Telekinesis would be pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. It'd be like the game Control. Have you played Control yet?
Not yet.
Telekinesis would be really cool, specifically so you can be Jesse from
Control. Oh, yeah. Wolverine healing would be good.
That'd be good, too.
But then you can still feel the hurt. That's the worst part. It's like, oh, it's going to heal in like 7 seconds, but I have to feel my 9 ribs break. Like, I would rather just like telekinesis people away from me. Stop bullets.
Neutralis 525. Huh?
Yeah. I love talking about superpowers. It's a first date question that I have.
And what are you looking for in an answer?
They all say flying, Trish.
But is it because they want to experience flight?
Yeah, but then they're like adventurous people that like to jump out of planes, and I can't deal with that kind of expectation in my life either.
Well, I want to fly particularly because I'm not an adventurous person. I would never jump out of a plane. My fear of heights is real.
Oh, try adding another foot onto that, Trisha. That's how far I've got to drop.
That's why I stopped growing.
That's
me too. That's Amy, why. Me too. I would say it's because I'm a hobbit. Oh, me? I'm just under 5'1".
Well, you got an inch on Amy.
Two. Well, no, wait.
No, Amy's got an inch on me.
That's really short.
Because Amy, you're 5'2"?
No, other way. 4'11".
Oh, you're 4'11".
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what, same that's what height my Chenoweth. Sister is. Yeah.
The great height mod.
Shorties. All these shorties over here.
Short people unite.
You have to look up everyone's noses to catch all the bats in the cave.
Isn't that great?
I can see everyone's gray hairs thanks to lockdown.
Well, and you can see everyone's cleavage. I always had to remember that like when I look at myself in the mirror, people that are taller than me might see more than I realize.
Can confirm.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. I think I'm being conservative, and then, oops, who knew?
Hey, so anyway, Matt, how are you going with the stream? Yeah, so, you back out?
Okay, hold on. We'll flip to Matt. Yeah, let's flip to Matt. Hold on. I got him.
Thanks, honey.
Unmute, Matt.
Okay, we are ready to go. We got Sam and DJ. They are ready for some Trivia Murder Party 2 action. So,
and what's our total? What's our total, Matt?
We are at $2,060.19. A massive achievement from everybody, but we're not done, okay? We are only halfway through the stream, essentially, because now we have an extra hour where I'm making pizza eggs, and we are trying to raise money in the midst of wild AC shortages. So continue to go to our Tiltify link. It should be in the chat. Come over, come play some games. We're doing a table talk with Will and Raina. We're doing a Nuke Fam retrospective. We're raising money for charity to protect very important people, our healthcare providers, the people who are going to save our lives. God forbid something's going on, who are putting themselves at risk every single day to protect people in the midst of this pandemic. So please go to our Tiltify link, tiltify.com/@LiebermanPlays/Matt-Lieberman-and-Brands.
Yes, and as soon as the Power Up Pod is over, don't worry. We are, of course, rating Lieberman Plays. So as soon as the show's over, everyone's going to go over there, and then we encourage you to hang out and watch the rest of the stuff lined up for the night, because like you said, it's DJ and Sam, and then I think it's Will and Raina. You got a great lineup of people coming up, right? And then the Nuclear Family.
Yes, exactly. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm gonna start a game with Sam and DJ.
Don't hang up your phone though. Give us like 5 minutes before you hang up your phone.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it the way it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. All right, folks. Amy, thank you so much. You're an amazing human being. We love having you as always. Let me get my. There we go. Amy, thank you for being a rock star. And Maude, let's take this puppy home.
Yeah, let's do it. Did you want to quickly say thanks to everyone?
Oh, yes. We have. Thank you guys so much. As always, welcome to all the new followers. You guys are awesome. Sauce and Neutralis 525, thank you for the resub. Hi to you back. Verdesh, thank you for the prime sub. You are awesome, Sauce, and I appreciate you. So, everybody, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for watching Power Up. Again, this is something we do every single Friday at 4 p.m. with Maude and I and Amy. And if you want to support the Twitch channel, you can do that by following or subscribing or joining our Discord. Any of those things are lovely. You get dragon scales for every minute that you hang out here and watch the stream, and that's just my way of thanking you for being a part of this community. And if you want to support Geek Bomb, the Patreon, Maude, where can they do that?
Patreon.com/GeekBomb. You can sign up to one of four different tiers. They're all pretty amazing. The community is great as well. We too have a Discord, which Trish, you were saying you hang out in yours like a couple of times a day. Yeah, mm-hmm. Same, because it's so fun and nice in there, and it's great to see what everyone's up to. But also, if you haven't subscribed to YouTube, our YouTube channel on GeekBomb, please do that, because we'll be posting these videos on demand, so you can go back and watch anything that you missed. But that's us done. We'll catch you next week. We are running over. Whoa.
Yes. And thank you, Ridian, for the gift sub. You're amazing. All right, guys. Thank you so much. The next Power Up will be next Friday at 4 p.m. The next time I will be live is... I would love to say I'm going to sneak in a stream tomorrow. Maybe I will. But the next time I'm scheduled to be live is dressed as Tifa playing Final Fantasy VII Remake Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Maude, we can catch you on Quibi.
Yep, I think if it's not today, then we've just recently had, if you signed up, you could watch Quibi for 90 days for free. So check to see if that's still happening, because your days or hours or minutes are numbered on that one. But yeah, yes, that's me.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bingo, bye-bye.